They thought like Nazis. They believed that the Second World War was fought with the wrong people on the wrong sides. They thought that Argentina, the United States, Britain, and Germany should be fighting against communism, against the Soviet Union. They really did believe that. And they thought, with this thing now called the Dirty War, they thought they were fighting the Third World War, and that they were in the vanguard against communism. And I've been told that by military officers. The education that they received was appalling because, unlike the armed forces in the United States, they're part of the citizenry. They're not cut off. They live. They go to universities. They get scholarships to go to universities, and they are part. And everybody knows military people. They live down the street with you. Where when I was here, they were cut off. They lived in their own quarters, in their own areas, and so they became apart from the people as a whole.
Dan Carley is the expat. Fernando Farias is the local. BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
Hola, this is part 3 of our special documentary on the Proceso, also known as the Dirty War. At the beginning, you just heard British journalist Robert Cox, the editor of the Buenos Aires Herald during the Junta years, speaking about the education the military received in Argentina. And in this chapter, we explore that, plus the methods, the doctrines, the ideas, and the overall plan of the military. It is vital to take into account that throughout the 1960s and beyond the 1960s, the Cuban Revolution had a great impact across the hemisphere. For many people who joined guerrillas, it was a demonstration of a successful revolution and a model to follow. For the security forces of the entire continent, it sparked a paranoia, an obsession to prevent their country from being the next Cuba. It's in this context that...
Porque Onganías da un discurso en West Point muy importante.
That's UBA historian Lucas Rentero.
Onganía gives a speech that's very important at West Point.
Indica...
in which he indicates that from this moment on, the military should be monitoring domestic security.
He's saying this to the American military?
Sí, sí, sí.
Yeah, his speech is at a graduation at West Point.
Donde están reunidos todos los militares latinoamericanos, y él explica...
Right, I was asking, who's the audience? Who was he talking to?
Hay militares norteamericanos y hay militares...
Military officers from all of the Americas.
Y él desarrolla... esta teoría de la seguridad nacional.
And he develops on this theory of national security and internal security as well, they would say.
Las fuerzas armadas para reprimir
by which the armed forces can be used to repress social protest.
Fundamental, o sea, acá cambia el rol del...
This is key. This is when the role of the army changes. Even though it had acted on the political arena before, now, according to this plan, the armed forces need to organize themselves to prepare for this conflict. That might be the reason for calling this a war that is brought upon the citizens. It's like paranoia.
Well, it's contrary to the idea of civil defense.
And in 76, this is deepened when the Proceso takes power.
The French were the first to systematize this concept of internal enemy and how to fight it. After their campaign against rebels in Algeria in the late 1950s, before that country became independent, French journalist Marie-Monique Robin wrote a book and made a documentary about the connection between the latter conflict and the training of armies in the hemisphere, including the US, on counterinsurgency tactics. From that film, this is U.S. retired colonel Carl Bernard recalling courses at Fort Bragg under Paul Osseres, a French instructor and veteran of the Battle of Algiers.
The Battle of Algiers, and the result were tragic is a gentle term. Now, the numbers that are used, evidently 20,000 people.
Killed.
Were killed, yes.
Civilians.
Yes.
Did Paul Osseres speak about his role in the Battle of Algiers?
What Paul was doing at Fort Bragg with us was underlining, trying to make us understand the critical aspects of intelligence how we had acquired it, and then how we applied ourselves to exploiting the intelligence we had. Well, he explained torture. They would take a captive. Generally, they were able to persuade each of these people. Most of them spoke. Those who didn't, they put in enough pain and mortal pain that most of them spoke. And then to have one prisoner watching another one being tortured and realize he was next often made him willing to talk. The additional part of this was, what do you do with these people after the after they have been tortured? Authorized answer to this was that they were executed.
Another place where there were French instructors was the School of the Americas.
The School of the Americas. Well, it's not called that anymore.
But that's journalist Christy Robinson of the Argentina Independent.
But it was a US-backed military training school. You have to put, I think, to put this into context, you have to look at a global context and bear in mind that the Cold War was going on and left-wing subversives were very much feared in the US's backyard, as it so kindly refers to Latin America most of the time. And the paranoia about Marxism on the continent and on the Western Hemisphere.
Communist conspiracy.
But a military training school was set up in Panama where the CIA and various people from various levels of the Department of Defense in the States would train people in how to get rid of subversives and left-leaning elements in Latin American countries. I know that a lot of the coups that happened down here and a lot of the leaders in various juntas have been through the School of the Americas.
The first time this whole strategy was put into practice in Argentina was in 1975 in the province of Tucumán, to tackle an attempt of the ERP guerrilla to take control of a portion of this northern province.
El ERP intenta generar un foco en
so the ERP attempts to initiate a revolutionary spot.
Aliarse a los sectores campesinos.
Because they believe that there is the possibility of aligning themselves with the peasants.
Sierra Maestra. They wanted to do what the Cubans did in Cuba in 56 till 59.
Oh, you mean rally the peasants.
Exactly, and then spread the revolution from this spot, revolutionary spot.
Exactly. And it didn't work.
And the army launches an all-out crackdown on this.
Y comienzan a usar los métodos terroristas.
And they began to use the tactics of terrorism, kidnappings, tortures, and later on, murder.
As the guerrillas expanded their operations, the three armed services were drawn steadily into a war on subversion. Each blow struck by the guerrillas was matched in kind by clandestine groups on the right, and torture became a standard technique in the police interrogation of suspects.
Who is the enemy to the junta?
Ellos le llaman subversivos.
The military called them subversives.
Now, the definition of subversion is very important. And regarding the Argentine case, there is another source of information for this work, which is the volume written by sociologist Marcos Novaro and politologist Vicente Palermo on the military dictatorship in Argentina.
The authors say, regarding the doctrine of national security, it identified a social, political, and ideological enemy of many faces, who operated in various fields, organized in various ways, using various methods. The enemy's name was subversion. After moderate elements in the army lost influence, after the 1973 amnesties on political prisoners, and after the guerrilla operations of 1974 and 1975, there was a widespread consensus among the military ranks about the methods to apply.
Torture, kidnapping, abductions, forceful disappearances.
They agreed also on considering civilians, politicians, and the courts as weak, or even functional to what they saw as the enemy.
Mandrake, do you recall what Clemenceau once said about war?
No, I didn't think I knew that, yeah.
He said war was too important to be left to the generals. When he said that, 50 years ago, he might have been right. But today, War is too important to be left to politicians. They have neither the time, the training, nor the inclination for strategic thought.
These enemies operated within the country and across the social structure. What needed to be fought, in their view, wasn't a particularly revolutionary practice like armed struggle, but the subversive condition of the person.
In order to identify the latter, being a Marxist or a leftist was a relevant fact. The strategy considered that subversion had to be attacked, especially in the reasons for its existence. The ideological virus that is disseminated by Marxists, communists, left-wingers, revolutionaries in general, but also third-world priests, Freud practitioners, atheists, and to a lesser extent, Peronists, liberals, and Jews, since they all represented a threat to the junta's vision of order.
Any of that was enough to be targeted, but not necessary. The enemy could be under a different disguise and not even be aware that they were considered an enemy by the junta. Someone acting in favor of a social change and against public order was easily labeled as a subversive as well, non-violent activist who had no relations with clandestine groups but carried out work in political, labor, religion, and intellectual organizations were particularly intolerable because they were seen as the most effective vectors of the subversive virus in society.
Some more explanations of subversion that shows how vast the definition is.
Okay, we're going to be quoting some of the military officers.
Subversion is also the argument between parents and children, between parents and grandparents. It's not only killing military personnel, it's also any kind of social clash.
Terrorism is not only killing with a gun or with bombs, it's also encouraging people to act in accordance with ideas that are contrary to our Western and Christian civilization.
It is absurd to consider we won over subversion only because we have eliminated its armed elements.
The country's enemies are not only those who integrate the guerrilla of Tucumán. Enemies are the ideologists who poison in the universities the soul of our youth.
Faced with subversion, one needs to remove organs of the body that hadn't been infected in order to prevent the spread.
I want to clarify that Argentine citizens are not victims of repression. Repression is targeted at a minority that we do not consider Argentine.
After the restoration of democracy, General Ramon Camps admitted responsibility for the kidnap and death of 5,000 people. The dead had been buried in unmarked graves, but these were not even human beings, he complained, not persons, but subversives, who wanted to impose an anti-humanist, anti-Christian system.
Están en todos los lugares.
I can no longer sit back and allow.
Están atendiendo un comercio.
Communist infiltration.
Están asistiendo a clases en la universidad o en colegios.
Communist indoctrination.
Están enseñando como profesores.
Communist subversion.
Puede ser un médico, un abogado, un ingeniero, un trabajador, un obrero.
And the international communist conspiracy.
No solamente son los métodos utilizados, sino que
it's not only the methods applied, but there's also the idea of creating a new structure of power for Argentina.
What you're saying is that military dictatorships actually got together specifically to progress the country in an economic way?
Opening the economy, free market, controlling collective bargaining.
Y un nivel de endeudamiento bastante alto.
And a pretty high level of indebtedness that conditions the economic policies to the suggestions of those who lend the money.
Fundamentalmente el IMF.
Los militares son parte de un estado republicano, ellos mismos se...
That's UBA sociologist Mara Burkhardt.
Un estado republicano, ellos mismos se definen siempre,
the military see themselves as part of a republican state. All dictatorships, all coups are carried out in the name of democracy. Many say that doing a repression on the surface, exposed to the population, it would have gotten the junta into trouble with the church. I believe they didn't have a lot of patience to tolerate the times of the due process of law. And we also have to speak about a context in most Latin American countries. There were authoritarian regimes in which the state was involved in illegal practices, with Pinochet in Chile, Uruguay, Brazil.
América Latina. Es decir, el tema de los derechos humanos o la vigencia de los derechos humanos es un problema que surge a posteriori.
The issue of human rights came up later there wasn't a discussion in Latin America in general about that subject.
Uno de los objetivos fue desmovilizar a la sociedad, una sociedad que venía desde hace muchos años.
One of the goals was to demobilize society, a society that had been highly politicized and socially mobilized for years.
Una sociedad civil muy movilizada.
Since the times of Peronism. This is a civil society that is highly mobilized, unlike the Brazilian society, for instance. The Argentine society is mobilized through organizations like unions, social movements, political parties, and the military plan to violently demobilize the society by cutting off the heads of those mobilizing organizations.
Seen as an overall plan, the armed forces set out to destroy what they consider were the reasons for all evils of Argentina, including subversion. And that's populism, which for 30 years, according to this vision, had twisted the minds of many Argentines, turned hierarchies upside down. So the overall goal was to restore discipline in the country, respect for superiors in all levels. Workers obeying bosses, children obeying their parents, and students obeying teachers. This is a quote from a manual used in the military academy, written by its director, General Bajon, that was read by officers in the 1970s. Populism is extremely subversive, because it breaks the natural and Christian order of society. It turns upside down social hierarchy, putting on top the lowest echelons of society. It is also subversion to give political sovereignty to a crowd, considering only that they are the majority. Power comes from God, but it doesn't go to those who cannot exercise it, because they are incapable of doing so.
BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
I'd like to make an interesting point here, which is tangential. This is why everybody who's over the age of, say, 55 in the United States thinks that Latin America is a crazy place full of chaos and military dictatorships and danger, because this is the only news that they've ever heard. Well, this is not the only news they've ever heard. The last time they were paying attention to news from Latin America, this was the news they heard.